Hello and welcome to the Parasocial Social Club.
I'm Charlie James.
I'm Jewel Karenin.
And we're your hosts.
And we're going to take you on a deep dive into my favorite topic, parasocial relationships.
Jewel, can you explain what a parasocial relationship is?
It would be my honor. A parasocial relationship is a one-sided relationship in which we feel invested in relationship with someone who does not know us at all. We develop illusions of intimacy, friendship, and identification with a media persona.
Like being a fan. And being really invested in a famous actor or a pop star.
Or a TikToker.
Or a podcaster.
Or a 7-time world champion Formula One driver.
Or a hot person you went to high school with but never talked to and now you stalk them on Instagram. And recently they got married in a beautiful ceremony off the Amalfi Coast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Basically, we all have parasocial relationships where we form attachments to people who we don't actually really know. And I really need to talk about it.
Jewel believes that parasocial relationships rule the world.
And Charlie believes that Hank Green should really email him back.
He should. Welcome to the Parasocial Social Club.
This podcast is all about exploring the incredible, world-bending power of parasocial relationships.
We're going to investigate our own parasocial relationships and interview the people we all have parasocial relationships with.
However, this first episode is going to be a little different.
Usually, we bring in a guest and interview them.
But today, I'm going to interrogate my co-host, Charlie.
Jewel, why are you going to do that?
Thank you for asking, Charlie. Two reasons. One, you are very TikTok famous, and a lot of people, almost 500,000 people, have parasocial relationships with you. And two, you and I have a weird relationship.
We do. And it has, on occasion, lived in a parasocial sphere.
But not always in the direction you might think. Anyways, I think we owe it to our audience to explain a few things. So first, we're going to explore Charlie's parasocial fandom and Charlie's parasocial relationships. And then we're going to do self-gossip about the two of us.
I love self-gossip.
Shall we begin?
Let's begin.
I am so excited to introduce our guest for the very first episode of the Parasocial Social Club, Charlie James. Charlie James, aka Non-Binary Cowboy, is an extremely talented comedian and writer who happens to also have 404,000 followers. Is that still accurate?
Yeah.
Okay, 404,000 followers and pretty fucking high engagement on TikTok. And you agree with that too?
Yes.
Thank you.
That part, yeah.
Thank you.
Sorry. Already I'm undermining. Yeah. I co-sign.
Charlie has captured the parasocial imaginations of Gen Z and beyond with his absurd, acerbic, and confessional comedy stylings.
Most androgynous person I've ever seen. Thank you so much. My mom was a woman, and my dad was a man. So that's what happened. That's why.
Also, one time, Charlie and I got ice cream, and the cashier was a fan and gave him a free topping. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Charlie... Just confirming.
I have more to say.
Charlie, you are a parasocial icon. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much. It looked like cum, the topping. It was like cum. We got, it was ice cream sort of snow cones. And then
delicious.
They said, would you like the jism on top?
They didn't say that.
What this, was it?
They didn't say that. And also this person was perhaps a child.
No, they, you think?
Maybe 20 at the max.
That's fair. 20-year-olds know about jizz.
You're right. That's true.
Yeah.
You're right.
What was it? It was some kind of coconut sauce?
No, it was like, honestly, it was like condensed milk.
Oh.
Yummo.
Yummo. And for free.
And for free because you're famous.
I guess.
Well.
To 20-year-olds.
That's literally proof that you're famous. You got free stuff. And I didn't. Like, she
Thank
actively
you.
Did not give it to me.
Wait, really?
Yeah. I didn't get shit.
I kind of thought it was for us.
You would think. I would think that too.
I guess not.
Okay. Anyways, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. On the podcast that we co-host.
Yeah, this is also your podcast.
But not yet. Not yet. Tonight.
Not tonight. We just talked about the definition of a parasocial relationship. Charlie, have you heard of this before I demanded that we make a podcast about it?
Yes.
Tell me what you knew.
I knew that a parasocial relationship can be really formed at any time, and I have a lot of them, I think.
Oh, I have hundreds.
Just, right? I mean, Sort of, you can't avoid making them. If you're consuming any art at all, or content, as they say, some content's not art, I feel. But yeah, you can form a relationship already. Shocked by that, don't you think?
I'm just trying to create clickbait.
A lot of it is, or like when someone who's like, I don't know, you ever see like 5 minute crafts that's duetting like a long story or like a comedy clip?
Yeah.
I don't think
you don't think that's art?
Art. No, I think that that's maybe exploitative. Okay. It certainly makes me think about death. So in that way, I guess it's sort of art. But
so anyways.
I knew what parasocial relationships were, and I had them, and I love them.
Oh, I love them too.
Yeah, they can be bad though.
They can be bad.
There's dark ones.
But
sure.
Before we get into your parasocial relationships, mm-hmm. I want to talk about you as the subject of other people's parasocial relationships.
Deal.
Because I think that's really weird.
It's weird.
So you are a very successful TikTok creator. Before we get into how people relate to you, let's just chat a little bit about how you got into that. How did you become a TikToker?
So the pandemic started and I was miserable immediately. I was immediately miserable. And a friend of mine.
Wait. How immediate? Like 2 days? 3 days?
I think I probably started doing TikTok like 2 days into lockdown. And that was back when we thought we were going to go back to work. Like I thought it was over.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I would have been fine.
If we went back to work in 2 weeks.
Also, I say back to work. I was working the whole time. My regular at the coffee shop, who's now my dear friend Justin, excuse me.
It was a calendar notification. It's
for
time,
what, this?
It's time sensitive. You want me to look?
I think it's my friend Shelby's birthday.
Oh, yeah, it's Shelby's birthday.
Shelby's birthday.
Happy birthday, Shelby.
Happy birthday. This will come out months later.
So we're 2 days into COVID, and you were at work, but you're
yeah, I worked at a coffee shop in Chicago forever, and we had this regular, my friend Justin, who would come in and do work there, and he was working on some ads that were going to go on TikTok, and he was like, you have to check out this app, and I was like, it's just teens dancing. I really don't want to be a part of it, and I never did Vine. Like, I'm not quick to jump on a new app. I really waited out to see how serious it's going to be. But 2 days into lockdown, I was like, whatever. I was supposed to have a sketch show go up that was like opening March 14th or something.
Oh,
yeah.
So
like, I was really bored and I needed something immediately.
And if I remember correctly, you were using those sketch characters in your TikToks.
Yeah, I would do the characters from those sketches, but just like delete everyone else's lines and just sort of make a monologue.
And did the people love it right away?
Kinda. I had the first thing I posted did pretty well, and it's a guy who's monologuing about how his wife has been cheating on him but lying and saying that she's filming the sequel for Little Women.
That's a good joke.
The sequel?
It's a good joke.
Yeah,
probably a sequel because the movie already came out.
Well, at the time maybe it was brand new. Maybe it was Little Women 1.
It would have been a bad lie.
What even would be the sequel? They're like married and they're adults and they're...
Joe is like with the old guy.
Yeah.
I actually read the whole book. Of course. Eighth grade.
Me too.
It's like 800 pages.
No, it's long.
It's really long.
Yeah. And they're girls. They're not really women. I mean,
they're little women.
My bad.
Damn. Louise Malcott, she knew. She had a good
idea. She knew immediately. She said, girls is going to be a TV show one day. How do I keep my SEO relevant?
Yeah, and it is.
Little women.
Back to the job.
So sorry.
Let's get back to the job.
So I started doing TikToks, and it took off pretty quickly because everyone was on their phone.
Right.
24/7. We had nothing else to do.
Yeah.
Whenever I was not at work, I was making a TikTok.
Were you making them daily?
Yeah. I was making a new one every day. I started doing this series called Winston and Beef, where it was an alien and then just like a person who I think was me, but I can't really remember. No. Winston.
Yeah.
But it was sort of just me. If I think about it, it was just me.
Well, there was like straight man and alien.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
both sort of me inside.
Both sort of you in some ways.
And I did one of those every single day.
Okay, so
for a long time.
When did you start to realize you had like an audience and like a following?
When I had like 70,000 followers, I was like, "Oh my god, it can't get bigger than this." That's like the craziest thing ever. That was really nuts.
And now you have 404K.
Yeah, and it's different. It's like it's so different.
Okay, so it seems obvious to little old me that a lot of your viewers have a parasocial relationship with you, meaning like they kind of think they know you or they have an idea of you or they might have a positive feeling towards you, like you're their pal. What do you think about this?
Yeah, certainly from comments, less so now that it's bigger, but especially when it was like smaller early on, it was people would wait for a new one to come out every day and they were like, very much like, what are you doing except for making this video? And it was like, I don't know, I would just get so many more comments as though those people had watched like every video.
Right, which they probably had.
Yeah.
Because what the heck else were they up to?
There was nothing going on. I was dyeing my hair, I was shaving my head. Like there was nothing.
And now that it is bigger, what do you feel like people's parasocial relationship is to you?
A little different now. I assume it's like, I think it's a lot broader of an audience, like not, yeah, it's just a much bigger pool but still parasocial. I'll get comments all the time that are like, I haven't seen your videos in forever on my For You page and I just got this one. And I'm like, but then they'll be like, the last one I saw was the one where you started testosterone. And I'm like, oh my God. So like it's somewhere in your head stored my journey and now you're like saying it back to me. And it's weird to think about.
It is interesting because I think that your style of comedy like relies a lot on your charisma and like your personality. Yeah, that's right. You've got charisma.
That's so funny because I feel the opposite.
What?
I lately have been like, I think performing and being the face of something is weird. But the writing side of it, I really like feel like I have down. It's sort of funny. But
what?
I know. But when I make TikToks, it's the opposite.
Exactly.
Like, it's all your face and how fast you're there.
Maybe you're growing up.
Maybe.
Oh, no.
Not yet.
No, you're not ready to sprout.
No, I'm ready to be like 45.
Well, I was going to say that I think that because it's very much like coming from you, it makes it really easy for someone to watch maybe like a funny video and then just be like, I love this person. Like that, they get it. I feel happy when I see them.
I heard from somebody once where they were like, you know, this video blew up and I didn't get that many follows from it. And their theory is like, I was funny enough for the like, but not hot enough for the follow. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it's that. I think it's like, do they want to hear more from like your specific perspective?
Right.
And for some reason, gay people on the internet said, well, we'd like to hear some more. And I really appreciate that. I really like that.
I think that's really true. And I think that's also a little bit why parasocial relationships are so effective. Like, that's why people become obsessed. It's one of the reasons people become obsessed.
And they want to know everything about your life.
Yeah. And they'll fill in the blanks. Which is tricky.
Yeah. Yes.
So on that note, how much do you choose to interact with your audience, like via comments or DMs?
I try to comment back if it's like I just posted the video and people have started to comment. I'll like stay in the comments and reply because that's kind of fun. And also, like, I feel like my whole audience is so funny. Like, they riff on whatever the joke is in the comments. And then I'm like, I'm having the time of my life. I'm keeping what you said, by the way. I'm using it for the next time I do this bit or something.
Yeah, your commenters are extremely funny.
Yeah, they're great.
They're really great. Good at building on a joke.
I know.
And sometimes I get annoyed. I'm like, that was a good joke. And then, you know, it gets like hundreds of likes. And I'm like, you're not the TikToker.
You didn't make the video.
But that's just because you're my friend. So.
Yeah.
But I'm sure you like they're making good jokes.
Totally. Totally. And then I go like, oh, okay. Is there something there that I can not use their comment, but like, oh, are they pointing out a thing that I haven't realized about this bit? And then I should take it in a different direction.
That's cool.
Or make it longer. Like, yeah.
You interact with them when you first post the video. Then do you go back and like read the comments after a few days?
Yeah, for the most part. I do less now, but I used to read like every single comment.
Wow.
Yeah.
Was that okay or?
Yeah, because it's all really positive. And then every once in a while I'll get something weird and I just delete them.
That's really good.
Yeah. Unless someone was like, this isn't funny, then I might think about it for like two. But that doesn't really happen very often because I feel like, I don't know, people just don't leave the mean comments to me as much.
I think you're on the right side of the algorithm.
I think so. I have friends who are on the wrong side of it and they get ones that are so vile. But
are they posting rage bait or are they just...
They're just women.
They're just being
that's
women.
That's like the only thing. Yeah. They're just being women on the internet.
For sure.
And somebody has something to say about it. And sometimes it's like their thing is they're saying like, I don't like that men I date do X. And then I think a lot of men who have dated have something to say.
Right.
That isn't relevant, but...
Yeah,
projecting.
I've definitely dipped into those comment sections once and again.
Yeah.
It can get
nasty. But mine's pretty supportive.
Okay, so do you strategically think about how people are relating to you, parasocially or otherwise, when creating or planning your content?
Yes.
Say more.
And I have to because it's a podcast.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I try to keep them in mind. Like, to some extent, I'm just making stuff that would make me laugh.
Right.
And I feel the worst when I make something that I feel like isn't funny to me. And that usually, if I put it up, I'll delete it like immediately. People might notice how often I private videos. Because I just...
You dirty delete.
I know. Well, because I'll be like, I'll post it and then I'll think about it for like 4 more seconds and be like, no.
Wait. Let me back up really quick. Mm-hmm. How much time do you spend in like a video?
It can vary. Either it's like a sketch that I've spent like some amount of time on or a character that I've like written, which probably takes me like a half hour if I'm like really diligently trying. And then actually filming it is like 20 minutes tops.
And do you edit as you're filming or do you
sometimes,
go back and cut?
If it's like a off the cuff thing, then yeah. And if it's like, I don't know, something that needs a little more, then sometimes I'll edit on my laptop. But that's so rare. That's so much work. If I want it to be really good, I can do that. But the problem is if you put in a lot of work, it doesn't do as well on TikTok. Like people really like off the cuff.
Yeah.
So I try to keep it minimal.
And I think that's good for your brain too.
Yeah. Unless I'm posting like a clip of something I did live and then it's like, you know, I've put some work into it. I'm adding captions manually.
Okay. So you are thinking about how people are going to respond.
Yeah.
Which I think is natural, very normal.
Yeah. Cause I'm like, it kind of is for them to some extent.
Yeah, all 404,000 of them.
And they don't all see it. Like, that's TikTok is crazy.
For anyone who doesn't maybe engage with TikTok, the algorithm is super, super specific and it shows you what you like. So you see the same people a lot of times, mm-hmm. even if you don't follow them.
You see the same, well, you don't see things you like. You see things you watch.
You see things you watch.
Anything I give my time to, they're like, they'll bring it back. Yeah. And there's some people where I am just watching, but I'm not enjoying. I'm like perplexed. And then they're like, wow, you love this person. And for 3 weeks, I have to like quickly scroll past.
Who are you loving right now?
Mm-mm. Who am I loving? Oh, who am I loving?
Who are you watching that you don't want to be watching?
Oh, it's always like, there's one like extremely conservative lady,
Charlie,
who says, but I don't love her. I don't follow her.
Stop watching that.
But she says things that are, so, she'll be like that feeling when no one else believes in chemtrails, but you know, you're right. Okay, and it's like,
I get it.
And I've gone through all of her videos because her worldview is like so inconsistent that I really like it. She'll be like, it's okay to give your babies whiskey. And you're like, okay. And then she'll be like, fluoride in the water is why people are stupid. And you're like, oh, yeah. Anyways, I think about her all the time. But I've seen too much of her and now I have to go quickly.
Right.
How did I get talking
because
about
I was
this?
Explaining to any non-TikTok viewers.
How the algorithm
AKA
works.
Listeners. And the other thing is that when you follow someone, it's sort of a joke. That we're like, once you follow someone, you're never going to see their content again.
Yes. You have to go to your following tab, really.
Which nobody's doing that.
I'm staying there lately. I live there. Because I want to say, I'm like, what happened to all the good people? And then I can go and find them.
What happened to the 40 people I followed in 2020 who I really liked? I want to see like who they are today.
And some of them kept posting and I just stopped seeing them.
Yeah.
You know? So you have to catch up on the narrative.
Okay, so reeling myself back in once again because
change my content based on the people.
What I really want to know is, do you think about fostering a parasocial connection at all?
Yes. Having thought about this more, absolutely, because I don't want to be a TikToker. I'm like a comedian. So I want them to like my stuff, not because it's on TikTok, but because they're like, I like Charlie. I like Charlie's perspective. Mm. I like the types of comedy that he does. I like his work. I would like to see him do more.
Right.
And I hope that that will lead to something in real life for me one day. You know what I mean? I'm like, please like me and continue to think about me. Come to a live show.
I'm laughing because it's so obviously Will, but what you're saying is actually very wise and true. And I think sort of the whole point of why I'm obsessed with parasocial relationships, because I think it's like the foundation of like all celebrity and marketing.
Yeah.
And we just haven't really been talking about it in this way since, to me, the rise of influencers.
Completely. And also just likability is like socially important to me.
It feels good.
It feels really good. It's sort of like all I actually care about. Oh, no.
You are a comedian.
Yeah.
It's okay to
want to be likable. I think, it's not even likability. I would like them to think I'm funny, even if they don't like me that much. But they seem to go hand in hand, I've noticed. So.
And okay, so I think it's really interesting that you do think about it. So can you think of any examples where it's like you've injected something in that you're like, I know people are going to like grasp onto this?
I definitely share personal stuff that I think will, that's like watchable. Like it's a lot of content about my life. Like all of my stand-up clips are like in some way stories about me and my family and... So in that way, it's very parasocial because I'm being like, here's something that happened to me. I mean, some of like the videos that have done the best are like, I have a story about this class I took in college where, the professor showed us that he could put a condom on a banana using only his mouth. And it's like, that happened to me. the whole story happened. And like, it's just a look into my life, I guess.
Into my fucked up, sick world.
A small arts college.
Do they know what college you went to?
Oh, I don't usually say, but you can find it online.
Well, now they can find it online.
Quite
the
easily.
Transcript of this podcast says it explicitly.
Yeah.
Do you have a LinkedIn?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because you need jobs.
I need jobs.
Okay, so back to work again. Does your relationship with your audience affect your real life relationship? I mean, relationships, friendships, dating.
Sure. Certainly, dating was weird for a while. It's not really weird anymore because I live in LA. But
right. Wait, say more about that.
Well, this doesn't happen in LA because there are so many people who are like in some way online or have a following. So like, I don't think that strikes people as weird anymore. But I used to get accused of catfishing in Chicago, and I was like, why would I catfish as like a smaller content creator online? That's nuts. But even still, it happens. Someone right. used a photo of mine on Grindr not oh, that yeah. long ago.
You were catfish bait.
Yeah, but they said that I was like 35, which I didn't appreciate.
Nothing wrong with being
Nothing
35.
Nothing wrong with being 35.
But you're not.
But don't take a photo of me and tell people that that's 35. I'm not going to look like this at 35.
Not as far as I'm aware.
Thank you. I hope I've changed.
I can confirm in 35.
I hope I'm different.
Okay, and does it affect how does your like audience relationship affect how you present yourself on like more of your personal social media, like Instagram?
Yes. I stopped really posting any just like photos of me and my friends to the grid.
Oh, interesting.
I got super weird because there was like a brief moment where I posted someone I was dating to my story, but I like hadn't really said that I was dating them. That wasn't like a known, there'd been no hard launch. And someone from my story went into the DMs of the person I was dating and was like, hey, I saw you on Charlie's story and I think you're cute. Do you want to go out? And I was like, I don't like this.
Wait, just like a random stranger?
A random stranger.
Ooh.
Yeah. Not even the same city, but I was like, I don't appreciate that.
Yeah, it's also like kinda weird. Your partner didn't like necessarily consent to that.
Yeah.
Well, maybe right? they did, but
I don't think they were expecting any interaction from like strangers. So that was weird. And now I just try to be like, okay, my Instagram is all in some way to do with like comedy stuff.
Interesting.
Except for occasionally, like on an anniversary, I'll be like, here's my partner, or I'll be like, here's a photo of me so that the algorithm sees this, and then behind it is like a show poster. But right. that's kind of it.
You're kind of like you're like, as long as they're a public figure, aka my long-term partner or someone I'm doing a show with, yes. they go on the grid.
Yeah.
But if not, they don't go on the grid.
And I no longer overshare in my stories. I used to just sort of generally in life to anyone at any time, but be saying anything. And now I've stopped
because
that's material for later. Let me work on it for a while.
You are growing up. I can't
I'm
believe that's
up.
The theme of this episode.
I know.
Did it's you gross. Think this was going to happen?
No.
This is crazy.
It's changing.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
You're nearly 35 at this
I also
point.
I talk about mental health. That's another thing.
You do or you don't?
I don't.
On your content?
Yeah, too personal.
Did you before?
By way of being like sharing things that are too personal. Yeah, if I'd be like, my life's chaos. And then it's like, they don't need to know how I'm doing day to day. That's not their business.
But they really would like that parasocially.
Yeah.
Which, by the way,
they would love it.
I want to just be clear that I don't think neither Charlie or I look down upon anyone having a parasocial relationship with you.
No.
No, I'm pro. We're pro it.
No, please well, have a I'm parasocial pro. Relationship with me. I hope I don't let you down.
Well said.
Okay. I hope when more information is revealed, you like what you see because, you know, I'm a human.
Just want to disclaim that like, even though we're talking about it as if it's this interesting scientific specimen,
yeah.
like, I think it's very normal. And like you're saying, it's part of your, what you're trying to do.
Oh yeah. I mean, the positives are that all the time I get to meet people who are really great and.
Oh yeah. On that note,
yeah.
have you met fans IRL?
I have. It happens less in LA because, you know,
because it's LA.
Brad Pitt's behind me. It doesn't matter who I am.
Has Brad Pitt been behind you?
No, but Chris Pine has. And,
in Silver Lake?
Yeah.
At Intelligentsia?
Uh-huh.
No way.
No, La Colombe. Oh. Wrong coffee shop, but...
I saw J-Lo, yeah. And what's J-Lo's boyfriend's name?
Ben Affleck? I saw him too at a PetSmart. Sorry, the parking lot
but
of PetSmart.
But I saw him with J-Lo.
Oh,
so it's way better. Yeah. And there was
kind
a child
a rare
trailing
sighting.
Behind them. It was weird.
They have one?
I don't know who that child was. They don't have one.
Together?
Well, we don't know.
I'm dumbfounded. That's crazy. I saw Tobey Maguire get punched in the back by a child. His.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. I built that in a way that sounded much more climactic.
That was not that interesting.
No. Yeah. I saw Tobey Maguire's child hit him lightly in the back in a crosswalk. Because wow. Here's what happened. I was sitting in the car with someone I was dating, and I said, look, I just saw that child punch that man in the back. And they said, that's Tobey Maguire.
And you were like, I don't
he really rocked LA. Him. Like, slammed him in his spine. Yeah.
Toby, if you're out there, you didn't deserve it.
It was crazy. You know where that was? Right outside the La Colombe, different day.
This is the spot.
Yeah.
You want to come? You want to see a male white celeb?
They're there. And sometimes with kids.
Almost always. Mm-hmm. Statistically.
What was the question?
The question was, have you met a fan?
Oh. And I said, no, but I've met Tobey Maguire. Yeah. And it's been great. My favorite thing is if people come up to me while I'm with my family, because then they're like, oh, it's working out okay for Charlie. People know who he is. Yeah, yeah.
Your parents are validated by strangers loving you.
Completely.
As they ought to be.
Or I don't know if they are, but I feel at least like I'm like, here's proof something's going on in my life.
I think that's really real.
Good.
So I think you're allowed to feel that way.
Yeah. And then I'm like, see, like a tangible person has heard of me.
Have you ever had a negative fan interaction?
I don't think this is meant as negative, but I really don't like when people are like, oh, I've seen your TikToks, and then they don't give an opinion. If they said, I don't like them that much, I'd be like, this is fascinating. Why did you say that? But it's just weird when they say, like, I've seen you online, because then I'm like, oh, yes. Okay.
That is not okay.
I can't be like, thank you, or like, oh, what did you like about it? It's just they're informing me that they have seen me. And I think that they, in their head, think that there's a compliment attached to it. Yeah. But I'm like, yep, yes.
That's interesting because, yeah, I do think they think there's inherent value in it. And you're like, I see my views. I know how many people see my TikToks.
Right. Like, I know people have seen it. What I want to know is, do you like me? And do you like me? Yeah.
No. Do you think I'm funny and
do you think
like
I'm funny
me?
And do you like me?
Okay. I would like to ask you some rapid invasive questions.
Great.
And for this, we will need...
You'll need
your device.
Amazing.
Okay. Number one, how many unread DMs do you have?
Okay. So
choose your platform. You can pick either or both.
I'm on Instagram. Currently I have two, both from people I know.
Nice.
But if I go into requests, there's six.
What about hidden?
Hidden requests. Loading.
Uh-oh.
Oh no.
Now don't look too close.
Do they not take you to okay. Oh, I know what that's referencing. I said my bucket list is that I want to tour a factory.
Oh yeah.
And that's true.
We can easily make that happen.
I know. It's just like, there's something people always say, like, oh, I was touring. Sorry. It's something people always say. Oh, I was touring a factory.
Yeah.
Maybe not. Yeah. It's a lot.
It's actually hard to tell how many unread DMs you have because they don't really count them here on the Instagram.
Yeah. They don't give you like a number.
But what about TikTok?
Safe to say it's too many. TikTok, I don't think I accept DMs on TikTok from people I don't follow.
Oh.
But I could be wrong. Muting because it's a podcast. I have three that are unread from people I know.
This is lower than I expected.
I try to keep it pretty tight. I don't want to be a comment. That's what comments are for, you know?
Comments are for the public.
Oh, but message requests.
Oh, yeah.
Quite a few. Yeah. This message type is...
You're getting too distracted by this segment.
Yeah, you're right. Now I'm trying to answer all of them.
Next question. You literally are trying to answer them all.
I'm okay.
How many unread text messages do you have?
Zero.
Your inbox zero.
Zero.
Good job.
Same with emails.
Incredible.
Zero. Keep it at zero.
Do you have your read receipts turned on?
I knew this question was coming. Yes, I have my read receipts on. The receipts that say I read what you said.
That's not what they're called.
They're called read receipts. To let them know that it's been read, the message.
That's not what they're called.
Yes, it is. Read receipts.
That's what they're called.
Why? This has been... This is like a Coke or Pepsi. Like, this divides the nation.
It's read receipts.
It's read because you're it's to inform you it's been read. That's why it says read at and then a time.
But no one
say read no at
one is
12,
looking at that
20.
Going, "Oh, the read receipt is here." It's the read receipt,
no.
Which tells you it was read at this time.
It would be the read receipt if there was also a receipt that says not read. Not read.
There is a receipt that says not read. It says delivered.
It says delivered
read.
Whether or not you have them on or not. I'm firmly in camp red.
So, first of all, actually, you arguing with me about this is glossing over the real issue, which is that you do have your read receipts on.
Yeah. Yes. I keep them on for people I know. And lately, people have commented a lot about it, can I just say. Someone the other day... A new friend was like, "Oh, you're a sociopath." And I just want you to know I saw what you said. If I forgot to reply, I'm like, the information has reached me, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's what you're wrong about. Calling them red receipts, that's wrong.
Okay.
Having them on is not wrong. It's socially inappropriate, but it's actually really helpful. It's actually really helpful and I like it.
It's socially inappropriate. But that's... The point is that, yeah.
I know what the point is.
I know it's for people over 50 who don't know how to turn it off. But I think it conveys necessary information.
I have a question, though.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know that your read receipts are on, do you avoid opening a text?
Absolutely. If I can tell... It's one that I need to think on. Like if someone's like, "Hey, Charlie, so I've been thinking," and I'm like, "Oh," and then I don't, you know, or if someone's like, I don't know.
I'm mad at
someone
you.
I'm avoiding.
Hey, yeah. I'm mad at you.
Hey, here's a paragraph. I'm like, not opening it until I have time.
Right. Okay.
To sit and think.
I think it's good because it creates a system of accountability.
Sure. I do turn them off for some people. Because you can select.
For who?
My partner, because it made us insane. It made us clinically insane. And we just immediately responded back to each other way too fast. And sometimes you have to think a little more.
Know your limits. Know your red
and,
limits.
And my aunt, who sends quite long paragraphs. And sometimes I really have to think on them.
That's that's nice.
Yeah. But... so she started emailing me instead.
Those don't send read receipts?
No.
Unless you put a little tracker in your email.
I have two aunts, and I'm worried that the one that will listen to this will think that it's her. It's actually the other aunt. And completely.
Do you read all of your comments?
Yeah, for the most part.
Oh, yeah, we already went over that.
Unless, for some reason, I'm busy. For any reason. But yeah.
That's a lot of comments for you to read.
Yeah, sometimes. If it's a really big video, I'll stop. Like, if it's doing really well, I can quit. But if it's not, then I I have the luxury of having only, like, you know, 15.
Do you get dopamine from it?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh, absolutely.
Do you search for yourself online?
I'll give myself a Google occasionally.
A Bing?
Yeah. Actually, recently, it's just been to make sure that you can't figure out my dead name from... from my current stuff.
And how's that going?
It's going great.
Excellent.
Seemingly, you know.
Everyone keep up the good
box.
Work on the forums.
No doxing me.
How often do you Google yourself?
Every like 6 months. I don't think I've done it in a while, except for the old name searching, but that's it.
I thought it would be cool if you said like every few
days
hours, every few minutes.
No.
But you said a normal answer.
Also, when you search me, it's probably just because of how the algorithm works on Google. But like, I just see my own links.
Right.
Because I open those all the time because I'm like on Instagram.
You also have so much content.
Yeah.
That you
I'm really in charge
there.
Of my narrative.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
What is your blocking philosophy?
If you are racist, homophobic, transphobic, if you add me to a group chat without my consent, honestly, on Twitter, it's if you say something weird to someone else, I'm like, I don't want any of that smoke, and I'm out.
Very good.
Yeah.
Nice philos.
Thanks.
And, what are the demographic analytics for your viewers?
It is 80% women, 20%
what?
Men, and everyone is between the ages of like 18 to 24.
Oh.
I'm living the life.
Oh.
It's really nice. It's really nice. Let me see if I can find them exactly.
That is the best demographic.
It's
I can't
awesome.
Believe you.
It's awesome.
I'm so mad.
It's nice because, you know, I think
wow.
that's why the comments are so nice.
Wait,
go up.
408,000.
Addendum.
408,000.
I've gained 4,000
since
more.
I wrote the script.
Yeah, but 0.3, followers. That drops. It really toggles. If I don't post, I lose followers, which is sort of weird because I'm like, how did you even remember to unfollow me?
God, your demographic is so good.
It's really nice.
Was it always like that?
Yeah, pretty much. I also suspect it's a lot of trans masks who the website thinks are women.
Right. We would love to have the real data on that. Okay. Ugh, God. I can't believe I didn't know that before now.
It's great.
Charlie, it's time to move on.
Mm-hmm.
I'm tired of talking about you.
Great. Me too. I waited too long to say that, didn't I?
Who do you have a parasocial relationship with?
I would say my most pressing, current, aggressive parasocial relationship is with PJ Vogt, who is a podcast host. Used to be one of the hosts of a show called Reply All
famously.
Until he was not. And now he hosts a show called Search Engine. And I pay money to listen to it without ads.
And why does Reply All not have PJ Vogt anymore, Charlie?
Well, listen, PJ Vogt in 2020 may or may not have, and I'm leaning on may have,
bold on
sort
may
of,
have.
Because, whatever, I wasn't there, but it seemed like he was kind of a union buster at his workplace, and that the union was largely led by people of color. And in that way, it was kind of racist to be so anti- organizing. And just generally, I'll go on the record and say I don't like union busting. I'm not pro.
Why are you saying this like you're lying?
I'm not. I guess it's just because it's like I have a parasocial relationship with someone who's done wrong.
Right. Which is okay.
Well, it feels wrong. Well, it feels like everyone deleted him from their lives. And
I'm also kind of shaming you for it. I'm not actually shaming you for it. I'm just comedically shaming you for it.
Well, recently I wanted to see if the tides had changed at all, and I searched his name on Twitter, and there's like tweets from this week that are like, let's recancel PJ Vogt. And I'm like, oh my gosh. Yeah, for sure. I guess live and learn is out. So I don't know.
Okay, well, I just wanted that to be the first thing people hear about PJ Vogt is honestly.
Yeah, well, that's the headline, certainly.
So he was one of the co-hosts of Reply All, which was a wildly successful
show about the internet.
Is it? It's not an NPR show, or it is?
No, it was. Well, it's complicated, but basically they got bought by Spotify. So now it's owned by Spotify, or was. Oops. But I really liked it. I found it really calming. Him and the initial co-host that he had, they just had a weird relationship where he was kind of too mean to him, but it was like, I don't know, the beef all seemed lighthearted, and it was really relaxing to listen to.
It was a very popular show.
And it was really good.
To my own 3 or 4 episodes.
Oh, long distance?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. If you're going to start there.
Incredible episode. Yeah.
It's really good.
Couldn't tell you which one PJ is.
He's not the one who went to India. He's the other one who made fun of the other host for going to India.
So anyways, you developed your relationship with PJ through listening to Reply All.
Yeah.
But it has continued for many years, mm-hmm. and you're now a loyal listener of his new podcast.
Yeah. I just like his journalism, and he seems, I don't know, he's just a good host. He's like good at interviewing people and asking the right follow-up questions and latching on to the thing that's interesting about the thing he's covering, and I'm a fan.
Do you want to be him?
No.
Do you
especially
wanna...
after all the stuff that he did.
You can answer honestly.
No, I really don't. I don't want to be him, but I want to like get lunch with him. That's sort of the energy.
Like once or a few times?
Like regularly, once a week, maybe we get lunch.
Where?
We just kind of hash it out.
Like at a breakfast.
Probably
place?
All time. Yeah. I'll get the cheesy eggs on toast and he can have whatever.
Whatever he likes.
Yeah.
I'd love to know.
But I have no gauge of what he eats. It's not a big topic on the pod. Anyways, that's my man.
And you pay for his Patreon, you said?
Mm-hmm. Because there's an option to do it without ads. And I listened to it enough that I was like, that's worth it to me.
And is he fostering your parasocial relationship with him just through being a good host? Like he's not sharing any personal information with you?
He's actually, now that he hosts his own show and it's just him, he does share some personal stuff about having ADHD and OCD. And I find both of those terribly relatable. And he's done a lot of episodes about drug addiction lately because he's lost some friends he shared. So all of those topics are pretty pressing in my life as well.
Interesting. Yeah. So he's opening up.
Yeah.
To you.
But he wasn't always. He also just recently talked about a time he was really suicidal, and I kept being like, I wonder if this was right after your life fell apart.
You have to wonder.
But I don't think it was. I've done the math.
You have to parasocially wonder.
Yeah.
You have to parasocially
do the
math.
I thought about it a lot.
Okay. Anything else to tell me about PJ Vogt? I know you could go on for days.
He briefly dated Phoebe Bridgers. She made an Instagram post with just a photo of him, and she was like, he was such a good journalist in this one episode about police brutality that I had to become friends with him. But then I heard from some people who know him that they dated. So,
whoa. Yeah. Also, I forgot to make an audible wow sound when you first said the Bridgers thing.
You did it inside.
I did it visually, but I forgot this is an audio medium.
I hadn't realized that you'd...
I did.
Not done it out loud.
Yeah.
I heard it.
Just so everyone knows, that was shocking to me. I was shocked.
Yeah, speechless.
As a Phoebe Bridgers parasocial
absolutely.
Light. Okay, insane. Well, we'll have to come back to him in a future episode.
And we will.
Repeatedly. but now, I think this is a good time to segue into what I would like to call self-gossip.
Mm.
Where we explain just a bunch of stuff about our strange, weird relationship to each other.
Sounds great.
Are you ready to overshare?
Yeah, absolutely. Speaking of something I no longer do online, I'd like to overshare now.
It's time to overshare because you and I have a strange little backstory on how we know each other.
Mm-hmm.
And just to entice the viewers, we had what one might call a falling out.
A big one. For years.
For years.
For years.
A desert of communication. a strong, not a block, but a mute here
a
and there.
A mute? An unfollow?
I don't know.
More than a mute.
I wasn't
say,
there.
I don't know. You absolutely were there.
No, I was there. I was there. All right, so I'll start with me.
Do you want to start with how we met?
Oh, yeah, let's go
start
back.
There. Just so people know that we have beef because we'd have met. Yeah, sorry.
Let's go back to how we met.
So we met when I had to be 17.
I believe
maybe
you were.
Maybe 16.
I believe you were 17.
And you were 22?
This is the part that gets real hard for me because I don't know how to do math.
We did this? Yeah. Well, let's do it. Let's do it now.
How old are you right
I'm
now?
27.
I'm 30.
So you're 3 years older than me.
Seems true.
The math wasn't that hard. If I was 17, you were 20.
When's your birthday?
But I remember you being 21. At least. When's my birthday?
I wish somebody just had this date of
April.
For us.
April.
My birthday's in December. Is that helpful?
Oh, yeah. You're 4 years older than me, so you would have been 21. And it all makes sense now because I remember that you were adult being in a bar setting drinking age. I was there illegally. If you remember, we were in a lot of comedy theaters that required you to be 21, and Jewel was, and I was not.
Right, but I also had been in that scene.
Just not while we met.
Before I was 21.
Yeah.
So I knew the feeling.
You've been a baby.
I got into the scene when I was 18.
The scene, we should say, is is improv community.
Censored. Yeah, so we're both in San Diego. We're both teenagers, or we're just teenagers.
Yep.
And
we're doing improv at some indie theaters.
Yes, which is pretty much, there's like one slightly more corporate theater, but like there's not like a big Second City or anything in
right.
San Diego.
San Diego, mainly the beach and a little bit of improv. And the military.
And a little bit of improv.
Yeah, kind of in that order. And we knew each other through improv.
Yes. And we were friends.
Yeah, I had a huge Jewel crush. I think I've said that before.
Thank you.
But
thank you for my crush.
Yeah, it was a huge crush.
Well, I was 21, you know, in the prime of my life.
I remember saying the age gap is too great to surmount. I'm literally newly 18, and you're like 22.
And this will become ironic, but you were correct. You were so correct you were a child to me.
Yeah.
And it's actually,
even once I was not a child, I still was a child to you.
Yes, like as recently as like a year ago. I was like, Charlie is still a child
a baby.
To me.
That's funny.
Yeah, I've had to kind of learn. Okay. Anyways, we're jumping in. So basically what happened, just to put it bluntly, is we had sort of a powerful older male figure in our community who
ran our theater but also our lives. He was both of our boss.
Yes.
As well as our we would improvise with him quite a bit.
Yes. And very much like he was very much in charge of like who's getting stage time.
Yeah.
And who's getting stage time, and I'll just say it, in the good shows. In the like high production value, gets a good friendly audience shows.
Yeah.
So it was very desirable to be in his good graces in that regard.
And moreover, I think just socially was kind of in charge of what was happening. Like,
for
to me, you wanted to be, yeah, for a time, you wanted to be on his good side, hanging out with him. Yeah.
So, how deep do we want to go?
Well, listen.
Hi, guys. This is Jewel and Charlie from the future.
Heads up, in this next section, we allude to experiences with emotional abuse and sexual manipulation of minors.
So if you want to skip that, no problem.
No worries.
Just jump ahead to our next episode where we promise we don't talk about this anymore.
It's just an important part of this we had to get to.
And don't worry, if you skip ahead to the next episode, you're not going to miss that much.
No.
Okay, see you there.
In 2017, the Me Too movement began.
And awesome time to be alive.
Really awesome.
Really awesome.
Well, in some ways, awesome.
In some ways, very important. No, in most ways, very important. In always very important.
In always very important.
As a person living in society, very sad, stressful.
Yeah. And stressful to, well, here's what was stressful for us. our improv man, basically people were like, hey, he was gross to me sexually, and he was removed from the theater that he ran. And And there was a, I would say, a big divide in our friend group, largely on the side of against this guy.
Right.
Who we should say is like much older than us.
Yes.
Like when I was 18, he was 33. And right around this time, I was still, I don't want to say dating, because that implies that he was upfront with me or good to me in any way. But I was in like a long-term tryst, secret tryst with this person since I was like 18. And so at the time that all of this came out, I very much sided with him, mainly because he ran my entire life and I didn't know how to live without him. He got me my first like job after I was kicked out of my parents' house. I worked for him. I spent like the majority of every day with him, and we did improv nonstop with him, which was like, I mean, it was probably like four days a week.
At least two rehearsals a week. At this point, two shows a week. Like there was a fever pitch of. Yeah. We're all spending a lot of time together.
And I spent all day with him because he had such a casual job and I had a coffee shop job that he got me. And he would just spend all day working on his laptop at my job. And then I would spend the rest of the day with him. And I fell in love with someone who was really, you know, toxic and terrible and didn't feel the same about me. But, yeah. But when it came to this big Me Too-ing, I came down on the wrong side of it.
yeah, but like also everything you just said.
Yeah, I was like, you know, I was super young, young enough to know better, but young enough that like he truly controlled my entire life and my brain, and he was all I thought about. I was getting ready to move back to San Diego.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Are you for real?
And leave college.
I didn't
know
that.
That's for real.
Thank God you didn't do that.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God.
Yeah. It's pretty bad. I actually delayed going to college just because I loved like working and doing San Diego improv.
I put it off for a year. I do recall that.
Yeah.
I do recall sitting in a diner.
I felt like I had more to learn from those people.
So we have this sort of like Me Too divide
we'll
happening
talk about where you were
in the community.
Yeah.
Right. So I'm at this point, like I've had similar experiences with this guy. So as soon as people started talking about it, I was like, yes, no, I know what you're talking about. I agree. He should not be in power.
Yeah.
Like power him bad.
Manipulative.
Yeah.
Really controlling.
Not good.
Yeah.
Not good. Even in, you know, this tiny little fish pond, like he abused his power.
Yeah.
And so anyway, so yeah. So, and I'm like, at this point, I've literally just moved to LA. So I'm in this sort of privileged position where I kind of, these conversations are happening on like Facebook and like text messages and DMs. And so it's not like there's, you know, it's not like happening on Reddit or something. It's like, this is like in our insular community.
Yeah.
So, but I do have this, the privilege of I'm gone. I don't have to see these people every day. These are not my teams that I perform with all the time. And so it's like sort of very clear cut to me to be like, I'm trying to be vocal, but also like not lay myself out on the ground with vulnerability that I'm not prepared to give.
Yeah. You didn't want to share your whole story with him.
Yeah. But I'm like trying to support the people who spoke out as much as I can and like have conversations with people who I was having a lot of one-on-one conversations, which was exhausting and horrible.
Yeah.
Horrible.
God, it was like a full-time job.
Yeah, it was.
During that time.
Yeah.
It was awful.
I remember it was like December. Oh, I remember it. Anyways, it became clear that you were basically team him.
Yeah. Big time. I mean, somewhat. I knew that at that point, I knew that what had happened to me was not cool. Like, I'd figured out, oh, like, because I've known him since I was 15. So I was like, I have memories at like 15, 16 of like inappropriately sexual advances that I just remember being like, Right. Those actually aren't okay. So by this point, I knew, like, I agree with everything everyone's saying. I'm just not willing to, like, publicly be against this person. And, yeah.
And at the time, there you go.
Well, someone, his fresh ex-partner, who was very much on his side, asked me if I could write some sort of letter basically saying, like, this is not my experience with this person at all. I think he's really great with women and young people. And I had to say no, because I was like, that's just not actually my experience.
So I think that's like, I mean, I think it's like, it's not good or bad, but it's like, just like, for your sake, I'm like, thank God you did have those, like, you know, thoughts in your brain that were like, no, I actually can say no to this person. You know, this.
Yeah, but barely.
Right.
Barely. I mean, I still did everything for that guy.
So when this is happening, my perspective is, I forget how old I was, but, you know, I'm a little bit older than you.
Early 20s, though.
Yeah, early 20s. And I'm like, of all the people who are kind of falling on the wrong side of this, like, your reaction, like, it made me sad, but I did not blame you. Like, I was scared of you. I was scared to trust you.
Yeah.
But I was like, this makes sense. Like,
yeah. Yeah, because he was my whole life.
Yeah.
And I really looked up to him so much, you know, and I think you knew that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The other thing about this is that at that time, like, I didn't know at all the extent of your guys' relationship.
Yeah, I don't think anyone knew. That's not true. But most people didn't know that we had a sexual relationship. And that was the whole point. I was not supposed to tell people because he would get in trouble.
Yeah, he would get in trouble.
Yeah. He would get in trouble for other reasons without even my, right, you know, me needing to tell my story. But,
So
yeah.
I didn't know this at the time, and I feel now like kind of naive and foolish, because, like, of course, but yeah. At the time I always thought that you were safe for some reason, and the reason was you were so young.
Right. Yeah, and I think and there weren't other people my age, like, you were the closest to my age in the community.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, and we've talked about this before, but it's like, I know it's not my fault, but, like, I always am like, I wish I had been able to protect you.
But I should have also reached out. Or at the same time, like, I was so, when it would get out and more people would know, I was so panicked and protective of it, because I knew he would, like, panic and pull the plug and be like, we should stop seeing each other. And right. I didn't want that. But I wish that I had been open with people about it, because they would have. I mean, people did try to stop it from happening. Mm. But at that point, I was like, well, we're both consenting adults. So even though it's like, is it consenting adults if it started when I was, you know, a kid? But yeah.
So.
Yeah, I really loved him. I didn't want anyone to stop it.
Yeah, which makes sense.
Yeah.
So it's basically like, horrible situation.
Yeah.
It was extremely emotional to be like having this get sort of spun out in our community. God, it was just
I've never used Facebook.com so fervently. It was like, oh yeah.
I know. I can like picture the like message windows opening on Facebook. Yep. I can like picture the mean message I got. Mm-hmm. Not mm-hmm. from you, from
probably from me.
No, you didn't send me any mean messages. No. So that's like sort of the moment of the explosion and sort of people taking sides. Mm-hmm. And so at that point, that's when like I drew a lot of lines with a lot of people.
Yeah.
There were other friendships that I lost.
And
you were kind of like a casualty of that, but we didn't have a talk or anything.
No. No, we were both kind of out. Like, you know, you were in LA and I was in Chicago and I, yeah.
We just.
Totally.
Kind of disappeared, or at least we just stopped interacting.
Mm-hmm.
And then a few years later, and correct me if I'm remembering this wrong, I remember you reached out to me. Also, this is all, just so everyone knows, this is all going to tie back to a silly little parasocial thing that happens later. Mm-hmm. But a few years later, you reached out to me and were like, Jewel, I'm so sorry for what happened. Like, I see the light. This is what happened.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's great.
Dread and panic.
I was like, I don't know what to do with this, but...
But good. Oh, my God. You're out, man.
Yeah. So it was very... So that was like... Thank you for doing that, but the door we did not reopen.
No.
We did not walk through the door.
No, we just sort of said our things, and then we disappeared.
Said goodbye.
Yeah.
And then that brings us to sort of the ongoing...
Parasocial element of this all. Which is every few years I would follow Jewel... No, months. Every few months I would follow Jewel on Instagram, and then I would see some posts, and then I would feel weird... about it, and then I would unfollow Jewel, and then in a few months I'd be like, I wonder how Jewel's doing, and I would follow again. All the while I'm assuming Jewel sees this and thinks I'm insane, and that's okay.
And according to me, which I don't know if this is true or not, but according to me, I'm not seeing this happen.
I believe you. According to you,
according
I believe it
to my brain, I don't remember seeing this happen. Maybe that means I did block you.
No, because I could follow you. I could see posts.
So then what is... Did I just not recognize your username?
Yeah, it's possible.
It's not like I was getting followed by tons of people or
It's
anything.
Possible by then I had a new first name and it wasn't occurring to you.
That would be insane. There's no way I wouldn't have clicked through.
It would be pretty surprising.
And known who you were.
Yeah. But I was nonstop. I must have done it like 5 or 6 times.
And why did you not just stalk?
I think as in some way I wanted a friendship with you again.
It worked out, but yeah, spoiler.
It worked out, but not in the way that I pictured it.
So yeah. You were trying to reach out with a follow.
Yeah.
And then you were
to
trying
to see if the feeling was mutual and it wasn't. And then I would undo it. And I'd be like, I feel weird.
That is so sweet. And I'm so sorry that
it's
happened
so parasocial.
So parasocial.
And I was never sending a message. I never was like, hi, Jewel.
Were you liking posts?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
Yeah.
I wouldn't know because I wasn't there.
I just
there.
Wanted to see him in my feed.
Okay. And then during this time, I am not following you.
No.
And
nor are you aware, I guess, that I'm having my own narrative in my head.
I don't think I am. And then, but I am occasionally seeing your viral videos popping up on my Instagram For You page because mm-hmm. I'm not on TikTok at this point.
Great.
And it is like, whoa.
Weird.
It is weird. Uh-huh. And then every once in a while, my sister would send me one. Actually, my sister sent me one once that was because it was you were talking about what we just talked about. Mm-hmm. And I was like, sister.
I deleted that one.
This
so
is
fast.
Crazy.
Yeah.
You deleted that?
Yeah. Of okay. course.
Wow.
I was like, oh, this actually doesn't. I'm trying to make trauma comedic. And in that, I'm losing all the nuance of how painful it was.
Yeah. And a lot of artists need to learn that lesson. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I'm seeing you, it's freaking me out. But I'm also like, kind of like, this is nice. Like, I'm like, you have a cool creative outlet.
Yeah.
You're being funny. People are liking it. Mm-hmm. But I'm also like, I'm still in like 3 years prior, you know, emotionally.
Totally. And then I start training for the Los Angeles Marathon. And
go on.
And I see you at the Silver Lake Reservoir.
Oh my God.
I see Jewel once. Jewel sees me 3 times. Right?
It was at least 2. I can't remember if it was 3. But I definitely saw you twice.
I saw you once and panicked and I just ran.
Wait, so you also decided not to see me?
Yeah.
And I did too. I was like, this didn't happen.
Well, I actually think I thought that you hadn't seen me.
You thought I hadn't seen you?
Yeah.
Did you think, wait, okay. Well, I had.
Okay.
Okay, yeah. And then there's definitely at least one other time. Well, the other thing is that I think you ran around twice.
Probably.
Because I was walking. So yeah. You were running.
Yeah.
So I saw you twice. But then I saw you on a separate occasion as well.
Yeah, a different day.
And we both ignored each other.
We were there a lot. Yeah.
And how'd you do in the marathon?
I was incredibly slow. I think this contributes slightly, but not at all. I used to train like high out of my gourd.
Right.
I would smoke so much weed before I would run. And so there was just no way I was going to be like, hey, Jewel, want to have a conversation that makes me so nervous while I'm stoned?
Which worked out fine for me.
Yeah.
Don't know how that worked out for you.
It was great.
But for me, it was
good. Love to ignore someone I know in public.
And you know who else I saw walking around the Silver Lake Reservoir? Kate Berlant. So
it's not all bad news.
Birth of a
feather. I saw, who's the, she's blonde, Dakota Fanning. Fanning.
I love
Wrong
L.
Fanning.
I love Elle.
Yeah.
Dakota too, but she taught Elle everything she knows.
Dakota was good in that movie about horses. Couldn't tell you the name. My brain's screaming secretariat, and it's not that.
Seabiscuit. Spirit?
No.
Okay.
What? Yeah.
So anyway, so we run into each other, but we don't talk to each other.
No. But then
we do make contact. And when is this?
I'm working at the Elysian Theater in LA.
Cool, hip, clowns.
Oh.
sometimes stand up.
Cool, hip comedy, and there's clowns there as well. And that is hip, if not cool. But I'm working concessions, and you come up to me with your mask on, and you pull your mask down, and you grab my hand, and you say, it's Jewel.
just in case you forgot.
And I was like, yeah, I know what you look like.
Because in my mind, A, you're 17.
Uh-huh.
B, you don't want to see me ever again.
Uh-huh.
And C, you don't know what I look like anymore. I have new bangs.
Couldn't be true. First of all, I'm following you on Instagram.
I don't
Not
know
at that
this.
Time.
I don't
Not
know
at that
this
time.
At the time.
But, I'm fully aware of what you look like. Also, you look completely the same. Like, you look like a more grown-up version of the person you looked like. You didn't make any big changes.
I changed from fringe bangs to curtain bangs.
That is true. But you kept wearing the same shoes. You did. You had one shoes.
Yes, I am still wearing the same Doc Martens.
But yeah, no, I remember your face. Because of how we saw each other almost every day for like years.
Yeah, I know. I know you're going to recognize me, but I just wanted to like kind of
make sure.
I just kind of wanted to give you an out or something.
If I said, who's that?
It's more so because I felt like you shouldn't want to see me.
Oh, yeah. Little did you know. I was delighted.
And I genuinely was like, let's catch up.
Mm-hmm.
But then you texted me to catch up.
Uh-huh.
And I ignored it because scared. Mm-hmm. I didn't ignore it.
Forever.
Forever, though. Because then you followed. Then it worked. You followed me on Instagram.
Yeah.
And I was like, who is this? And then I was like, oh, shit, it's Charlie. Oh, shit.
Text Charlie.
Charlie texted me 2 weeks ago. And I texted you back. And then we had a very delightful taco date.
Yeah.
Where
we hashed it out.
Wherein I went into this taco time, like still not knowing how you felt about the situation.
Even after I'd sent you a message being like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that was a long time ago.
Yeah. If my feelings had changed, flipped-flopped on it.
I thought like you could still be talking to him.
Yeah, and I was for a long time. I was. Not by the time we were getting tacos.
No, you said...
But regularly. A lot of it was me calling to yell at him. Because I really wanted some sort of... I wanted an acknowledgement that it was abusive. And there's just no way that he was going to give me...
No.
He would say he was sorry that I felt that it was.
I'm sorry that you felt that it was.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I don't want to share that next part.
So I literally go into this hangout extremely fucking nervous.
Mm-hmm.
And we end up like actually like really talking about a lot of stuff. And it's not traumatic. It's very healing.
It
and
was
nice.
Really healing.
I don't know if I cry, but I felt like I cried.
Probably me too.
And I was just so relieved because I was like, oh my God, you are not 17 anymore.
No.
You have moved through a lot of this insane bullshit that you had to go through.
Yeah.
And also, I feel so guilty about not protecting you, and I'm sorry, and I get to say that.
And I'm sorry that I defended a guy who sucks so much that I lost my friendship with you.
And no problem. I mean, it's
and literally no problem.
And, like, no problem at, like,
anytime.
Like, don't worry about it.
Great. Iconic.
And that's basically
that's our story.
The culmination of how we went through hell and we came out on the other side.
Do you think we would have a podcast if we didn't have narcissistic abuse in our shared past?
Amazing question that we can definitively answer. I will say this. We would not have a podcast if you didn't DM me after I angrily posted, I think God put me on this earth to make a podcast about parasocial relationships.
And I said, I could help.
That, I know we would not have a podcast if that hadn't happened.
So I had to follow you on Instagram. That's really what I'm hearing.
Exactly. Good. Exactly. So yeah, it's crazy to talk about all that stuff.
Yeah.
It's crazy to talk about it on a mic too.
Completely.
It feels good, but also like, man, fuck all that shit.
Fuck all that shit. I mean, I've never talked about it on a mic. I've just spent like the last, you know, almost 10 years discussing him and what he did to us. So
much therapy.
Yeah.
So much.
A lot of therapy.
So many phone calls. So much stuff.
Yeah. SSRIs.
So many.
EMDR, can't recommend it enough.
Wait, you liked it?
I really liked it.
It worked?
Yeah, for
me. That's awesome. I believe it works.
You got to do the one with tapping and not the one with lights. The one with lights doesn't work for Gen Z and millennials.
No fucking way.
It's true.
Really?
It's less effective because we have so much screen time.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
They got to invent a whole new one.
Yeah. Well, they have it. So that you hold little buzzing beads.
For any uninitiated, EMDR is a trauma therapy that helps you like rewrite the sensory.
Yeah,
thing?
You sort of you're like recategorizing memories as not urgently traumatic. It's to help with PTSD.
Freaking cool.
Which I don't have from him, but I do just have.
Okay.
Anyways,
anything else to?
No.
Okay. Let's next.
In closing,
thank you for doing this podcast with me.
Thank you for having
me. Not what I expected when we got tacos a little over a year ago.
No. Nor what I expected when I was 18 and I thought I'd really like to spend time with Jewel.
Not what I expected either. Yet here we are sitting on your couch in Los Angeles. And it's now time for the tonally perfect fun final segment.
Perfect.
Nothing wrong with this tone shift at all. Uh-huh. At the end of the podcast, I like to ask our guest for any recommendations. Anything at all. Food, fun, fan fiction. I'm not supposed to say that one out loud. YouTube channels, movies, books, a place to visit, a state of mind, whatever you want.
Okay, I have a few. The first is if you haven't already rewatched Veep, I would do it again. On a second, maybe I'll say for me, 20th watch, it's a really good show. They're very mean. They're very funny. Excellent. Excellent television.
You love mean media.
I do.
PJ, Veep.
Oh, maybe I do. Maybe I like. Yeah, I think actually I'm a little bit mean inside and it's nice to have a small outlet that doesn't involve me being mean.
So true.
Yeah.
So healthy
to engage
of you.
With meanness.
I look forward to exploring this more.
Thank you.
And what else do you have to recommend?
I would also recommend the YouTube channel Intellectual Media, but it's spelled L-E-X-U-A-L, Lectual.
That's crazy.
Yeah. She makes long history videos, and they're really interesting, fun to watch, but also perfect to fall asleep to if you need white noise.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Sexual.
Intellectual. Well, her name's Lex.
Got it.
I want to say.
Good pun. Wordplay?
Yeah.
I don't really know what a pun is.
They're really good. They're like 2 hours long. And she'll be like, here's everything you need to know about the 80s. And I didn't live through the 80s, so it's nice to, you know, have a primer. Yeah.
Anything else to recommend?
The peanut butter they make at Lassen's is really good. The honey nut one.
Yum.
Yeah.
Delicious.
That's it.
Okay. The cat is biting my hair. It's no problem. You don't need to stop it.
Okay.
just just wanted to announce it. Okay, and then finally, Charlie, mm-hmm. at Non-Binary Cowboy, mm-hmm. what do you have to promote?
Well, as always, my social media, always at Non-Binary Cowboy. And what do I have to promote? Just if you're in LA, come see a live show. I post about it on Instagram and stuff. And that, I think that's it.
I think that's it.
Great. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Parasocial Social Club. To deepen your parasocial relationship with us, find us on any socials at Parasocial Podcast. This podcast is produced by Garrett Labonte and theme music done by Bridie Hicks. And for Garrett's Corner Fill of the Week, overnight oats. If you remember to make them the night before, they're a wonderful breakfast. Or lunch if you wake up late. See ya!